Morning.
Welcome. For those of you who are visiting, welcome. We have begun a new series on Sunday evenings. I want to invite you to come and be a part of that as we talk about, I guess, true north or seeking north. Rob, help me with the exact phraseology.
Discovering true north.
Discovering true north. I was all around it. Discovering true north. And tonight, Stan Jennings, one of our shepherds, will be speaking. And we'll have classes on some nights and events for both young and those young at heart. And our men will be speaking. Not only will our shepherds be speaking, but men of the congregation will be speaking on Sunday night. And we've done that in the past, but it's been a little while. And that's always a great time to be together. So I encourage you to participate in that. Come and be supportive and always learn a lot and have great lessons. So be a part of our summer program on Sunday evening, Discovering True North. And just want you to come and be a part of that. I know summer gets busy, but it'll be a great, refreshing time to be together. Kind of a renewal, a little bit different than what we normally do. So I want you to be a part of that. And next Sunday is June. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Next Sunday is June. And the first Sunday in June is our Friends and Family Day. And so not only do we want all of you to be here, but invite your friends, for those of you who have them, and invite family and your neighbors to come and be with us next Sunday. And we will have dinner after our morning service, and we'll have our morning assemblies and dinner, and then that will be the day for us on next week. So I want you to come be a part of that and bring something to share with us all to eat and just be here, but invite some folks to come as we spend time together. Let's remember those who maybe don't live in our community anymore, who used to be a part of our congregation or our families, and invite them to come back, because it's always a great time to see them. If you've got a friend that doesn't have a church home, great time to invite them to come be, because we'll hopefully have lots of visitors next week. So Friends and Family Day next Sunday, come and be a part of that. Today, I want us to talk for just a few moments about remembering. I want us to talk about remembering today, because tomorrow is Memorial Day. And most of the kids, I guess, if not all, are out of school, and they're enjoying that. I know they are at my house. And many of us will have a day off of work tomorrow for Memorial Day, and hopefully it will be a time when families can be together and we might grill out or have activities, and that's a good time. But it is about remembering those who have given their lives in defense of our country. Memorial Day is about remembering those who have given their lives in defense of our country. Memorial Day started pretty quickly after the American Civil War to remember those who had died in the battle between the states, and kind of stayed a commemorative, and they would decorate cemeteries. So sometimes Memorial Day is called Decoration Day for those who had fallen in the American Civil War. And then after World War I, it became a holiday, a remembrance, a memorial for all of those who had died in military service prior and now, even up to today's date. And I want us, as we enjoy the holiday weekend, to remember those who have fallen so that we have the freedom and the prosperity that we enjoy, because it is not free. And we certainly live in a great place and a great time, and many have made a tremendous sacrifice that we could do that. And not only those who have given their lives, but as we know, it affects those loved ones, mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, children whose parent or spouse or child doesn't return home. And so not only do we want to enjoy the time together, but it is a time to stop and reflect on the cost and the price that has been paid. And so as we enjoy the weekend, let's remember both young and old, what it's about. That there are those who will not enjoy tomorrow the way that we will because they were willing to give so that we could. And that is a tremendous price. And we want to remember that and think about that. Memorials and remembrances are really part of what we are as human beings. And God, throughout the Scripture, throughout His dealing with humans, set up remembrances and memorials to remember great works that He has done and the events in the lives of God's people. Things that symbolize and has warned us to beware of those things, those symbols, those memorials that are ungodly. But when the Jordan River parts and Israel crosses into the land of promise, you remember that there's a representative from each tribe who picks up a stone from the center of the river and builds an altar, not to make sacrifice, but a pillar of remembrance, so that they would remember and could teach their children what God had done for Israel. In the Ark of the Covenant that Israel carried with them through the wilderness wanderings and into the tabernacle and into to Jerusalem had a jar of manna for them to remember and Aaron's rod that budded so they would remember what God had done for them. That they would be reminded, that those would be with them so they could remember what God had done. As we talk about Jesus' death, it occurred on the feast of Passover. Passover. A whole feast, actually a whole week of remembrance of how God had delivered Israel from the captivity of Egypt, from slavery and bondage, and had made them a nation. And so not only is there the day of Passover, but there is a week, and you remember that not only would they celebrate it, but they would eat the food like they ate in Egypt, and they would eat it standing up, and they would have their sandals on and their coats on to be ready to go, just like Israel was in the land of Egypt. It was a remembrance of what God had done. And it is so important for us to remember what God has done for us, what God has done through human history, to remember God's power, because it's easy to forget. And from one generation to another, it's easy to forget. I've shared this illustration with you before, but I like to think about it, how quickly we forget how to do certain things. I remember, and this wasn't long ago, I never plowed with a mule, never worked a team of horses in my whole life. I have had to crank a tractor off. It had a battery, but when the battery didn't work, you could crank it, and I have done that, which some folks look, what do you mean a crank? Yes, it wasn't that long ago that tractors had cranks and cars had cranks out the front of them. But as it's hay season, I think I remember so well changing the blades on a sickle bar mower, knocking the brads out and redoing that. We don't have a sickle bar on the place today. The reason I'm kind of reminded, Paul started cutting hay yesterday, which is a great relief for me, and I want him to get really good at it because that'll be all right with me. I'm ready to move on to something else. But as I was just pointing out things, I remembered so well that when you got to the end with the old sickle bar, you couldn't just turn. You had to raise it up, turn all the way around, and start off square, because if you ever got into that hay that had already been cut, it would bind up on you, and then you would get off, and you'd clean it off. That hadn't been long ago. It wasn't long ago when, for preparation for lunch today, either yesterday afternoon or early this morning, somebody was out in the field or out in the yard making preparation for the meat on the table. I don't know that anybody did that this morning or yesterday. If they did, it was a run to Kroger's. Right? It wasn't, but it wasn't long ago that mom or grandma caught one of the chickens in the yard. I don't know what the chickens knew. It's Saturday night. Stay out of the yard. You know, hide. But it was a part of what we did. I share that because how many of us would have some difficulty today remembering how did we prepare that? How did we do that? And for many of us in our lifetime, it was a little bit before mine, not much, but a little, that was just the routine. That was just the routine. And now you would go, wow. You know, now most of us, our pilot lights are automatic. Building a fire, we don't have to know. We don't even have to remember light and pilot. All of those things. The reason I share those is for the young people here, that is really odd. You know, really odd. That, you know, that was ancient history. But it wasn't that long ago. And again, to remember how to do it. Some of us could figure it out. We might have to read the old Foxfire books to try to remember how to do that or ask somebody. But just a few years ago, everybody knew how to do it because it's what you did. Same thing's true about remembering God. That what we know has to be remembered and passed on. That the knowledge of God, while it's evident all around us, it's important that we teach it. And not only teach the facts about God, but the importance of faith. The importance of faith, that it is about who we are because we're God's people. Because if not, it just becomes, well, that's how people used to live and it's not relevant anymore. Or it becomes like it is today, if we were not to have a microwave or even without electricity. If the electricity were out for a long time, it would be very difficult for us to make it very long. Now, some of us could, and partly it's because we've lost the knowledge. Partly it's just because most of us don't have a rope with a bucket on the end of it to stick down the well, even if it's there, because we've got an electric pump or the water just shows up. But we would have trouble surviving, even with what people just a generation ago thought was common. If we don't teach faith, our young people and our society will have trouble surviving if we don't remember who God is and the importance He plays in our lives. Because the message of the good news of the Scripture, of the New Testament, is not just about our salvation. It's not just about our salvation, but it is about Jesus as King of the kingdom. And our invitation to be part of that kingdom. And so what becomes very important is, how do people of the kingdom live? How do people of the kingdom live? It doesn't just become about what's good for me. The good news of the gospel is not just about what's good for me. Jesus died for all of us. We understand that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is great news. But the invitation, what Jesus did is not to say, I'm going to bring salvation to you, and you live however you want to, and do whatever you want to do. The invitation, I have died that you might be saved and have eternal life, and now I call you to become part of my kingdom and part of my family and walk in my ways where life is found. The reason I share that is because sometimes we lose that view, but we have to remember what Jesus did and why He did it and why faith is important to all of us. Remembrance. Jesus said, and Paul quotes it to the Corinthians who are struggling over the Lord's Supper, which we're going to take in just a minute. And he says, when the Lord instituted that, when Jesus instituted that on the night He's going to be betrayed, on the night of His betrayal, Jesus institutes what we know as the Lord's Supper. And He tells them, when you do this, and it says right there on the table, do this in remembrance of me, of how I lived and why I died and the importance of resurrection and God's love, all of that is bound up in why we take the Lord's Supper, to remember so that we don't forget. And it's important that we do it often, that we do it often so that we continually remember. We're continually being reminded about what Jesus did for us. And here's something really important. You remember when Israel asked for a king. They had been ruled by judges. Moses had led them, and then there's a period of the judges. But God had kind of had served as their king. And they asked for a king. We want a king. And reasoning doesn't change a great lot. Why did they say they wanted a king? Because everybody around us has a king, right? You remember that? And for all of us who are parents or who can remember our childhood, how many times have we asked for something or to do something and the reason was everybody else is doing it? I just think that's interesting. Everybody else has a king. We want a king. And as you read that, the Lord is really hurt that they wanted a king because, hey, I've been your king and I have provided and cared for you. And he even says to the prophet, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. And God says, but remind them of this, that when they have a king, guess what comes with a king? Taxes. Taxes come with a king. That's what God tells them. That when you get a king, he's going to take from your possessions to provide what he provides and to provide for himself. And he's going to take your sons and use them in the military and make them servants and your daughters as well. That's what you get when you get a king, even a good king. And the tendency is that some of the kings, maybe lots of the kings, are not going to be good. You have rejected me, and I have cared for you, and you want a king. If you read it, the Lord's kind of saying, beware of what you ask for, you just might get it. So they get a king. And the kings, some were good. Some were good. But even those kings who were good, taxed and had armies and made service of the people, didn't they? Because you remember, after Solomon, the man who had God's wisdom, and you remember why Solomon asked for wisdom? That I might rule over your people well. The one of the kings of the United Kingdom. Even Solomon, after Solomon dies and his son takes over, what's the people's desire? Don't tax us like your father did. Even Solomon, who was a good king by kingly standards. And do you remember his son's response because he had poor advisors? If you think my father was hard on you, you ain't seen nothing yet. Not a great political strategy for those of you who might be political scientists. But that was his right. But the people were even oppressed or felt oppressed by a relatively good king who was Solomon. But that's what they asked for. But Jesus comes as the Son of God, as the Messiah, the King of the kingdom. All right? The Lord. That's how Jesus comes. But what does Jesus come to do? Not to be served, but to serve. Right? What a contrast. And on this day of remembrance, on this weekend of remembrance, we need to realize and remember that Jesus came as a king who was different. Jesus didn't come to get, but Jesus came to give. And he taught his disciples. He said, you know how the Gentiles do it. Those who rule over the Gentiles lord it over them, right? But what did Jesus do? He washed their feet. Jesus washed their feet. And instead of Jesus coming and building wealth and empire and power, Jesus gave his life. Instead of asking others to give their life in his service, he gave his life in service to us. The King serving. He who will be greatest in the kingdom will be your servant. And so today, we want to remember those who have given their lives for our country. And we want to remember the importance of faith. And we want to remember that Jesus, who was God's Son, did not think equality with God something to be held on to, but emptied himself and became a servant. That the King came to give, not to receive. But he calls on us to what? To honor him and be obedient to him as he shares with us God's eternal life. Remembering Jesus gave his body and his blood, his life, for us. And in a day of remembering, we don't want everything remembered. We don't want everything remembered. All of us have things in our lives that we don't want remembered. We'd just assume they never happen. We'd like to forget them, and we certainly want others to forget them. Don't raise hands, but we all do. I run into an old college friend and his family occasionally. And sometimes we will run into him in the midst of some of our other college friends. And I've never seen a man so nervous that we're going to bring up the 80s. Because he is different today than he was then. And he doesn't even want those stories repeated. He gets fidgety. It's funny. And so I would never cross because his family's there and he does great. And he really wasn't a hoodlum. He was just a little on the wild side. But again, it's different. But I'll occasionally just act like I'm going there to watch the sweat beads break out on his forehead. He doesn't want to remember. At least he doesn't want that repeated. David had things in his life he didn't want remembered against him. And all of us have things in our lives that we don't want remembered against us, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. I want to read from the 7th verse, the 25th Psalm. David writes, "Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord." David is asking God, "Don't remember all of the things that I have done that I should not have done. But in your love and in your mercy, remember me. Remember those things that are good. Take away from me and from your remembrance and from mine those things that are wrong and sinful and evil." And those are words we don't like to use, but all of us, and we must be honest about it, because we never really appreciate Jesus until we realize what he's done for us. All of us have those things we don't want remembered that are sinful. They were wrong. They were selfish. And Jesus came and gave his blood that those things will not be remembered, that they're washed away. We remember what Jesus did and ask him to put away from his remembrance and from ours those days of our rebellion and our sinfulness, that we might be washed pure so we stand before God not giving an answer for what we've done wrong, but cleansed in the blood of King Jesus. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He came that we might have forgiveness. So today, as we take this cup, let's remember those who've served. Let's remember our faith. But let's remember Jesus, who came from heaven, who gave his life for us, so that our sins will not be remembered, but that we might be pure before God, not from our own righteousness, but because of the blood of his Son and our Lord Jesus. If you've not been cleansed in the blood of Jesus, or you need to come and ask for forgiveness, you do that while we stand and sing?